Welcome to Paranormal War Live, the fastest 60 minutes of paranormal talk on the internet. Be prepared for the best guests and riveting stories. So sit down, strap in, and hold on for the ride of your life. This is Paranormal War Live. Be warned, it might just scare the hell out of you. Let's get to our main man of the show. The host with the most, Rick.
And good evening, everybody. On No Whiners Radio, you are listening to Paranormal World Live. Airs every Thursday night, 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. If you're new to this show and you're trying to figure out how to get to chat, it's on the right-hand side of nowhiners2.caster.fm. Right underneath the big red box, it says Live Broadcast. It's right in the middle. You click that bubble, it'll bring up the live chat. Fair warning, the chat does lag when there's a lot of people in there, so if your post doesn't show up right away, it will. We will be taking live questions from chat, and if time permits, we will be taking live calls. But that's all in the future. We're going to get to it. A couple of big announcements before I get into this. Steve Huff is actually kicking off a huge 3 weeks for No Whiners Radio with his show tonight that I'm absolutely honored to have him on here. And then next Thursday night, we have Andrea Perrin. If you don't know who she is, you might want to look up The Conjuring and all that. And then Wanda Kay is coming on October 30th, and she's going to share her stories about Bobby Mackey's world. So it's a huge 3 weeks for this radio station. But, you know, we're going to get to our guest tonight. This guy is a pioneer in the ITC community. If he says something on the internet, people listen. So we're going to bring him in, and we're just going to sit down and talk with him. So, Steve, how you doing?
Hey, I'm doing great. How about you?
Oh, it's a beautiful night here in Kansas. So live right outside Kansas City.
Yeah, it's beautiful here in Phoenix as well. It's finally cooling down, coming into cooler weather, which is always nice. So, yeah, beautiful night here, too.
Yeah, I spent a lot of time down in Sierra Vista, Arizona, for my training in the military. So that was quite the fun time being up in that high elevation. But
good.
But nice. Yeah. Anyways, we're gonna just get into the questions and the basic talking. I wanted to know what got you into the paranormal. When did you start? Did you have an experience when you were younger or anything like that?
Well, when I was young, when I was little, I've always been interested in ghosts and spirits, scary movies, all kinds of stuff like that. And when I was little, I would read books on ghosts and hauntings, and I always wanted to believe it back then, but everybody told me, you know, there's no such thing as ghosts, there's no spirits. But I always wanted to believe in them. But as I grew older, I started to not believe and become a skeptic. When I was little, I just wrote about this recently, actually. I had actually two near-death experiences when I was little. Mm-hmm. One, I was hit in the head with a baseball bat while playing baseball. And I remember vividly, my forehead was split open. You could see my skull, according to everybody looking at me. And, my mother and father came to get me from the block, and they were driving me to the hospital. And I remember, fading out, my mom's crying, you know, trying to get me to stay awake because she was afraid if I fell asleep, you know, that would be it, because I was losing so much blood. And I remember vividly kind of fading out and seeing this white light and just feeling like I didn't want to come back. Like, and I remember saying to my mom right before I faded out a little bit, don't cry. I'm okay. I just had this weird feeling come over my body. I was in no pain at all. I saw white light, and next thing you know, I'm in the doctor's office in the emergency room, and they're trying to stitch it up without any anesthesia because I was allergic to it. But that was one of them. Another one was a dentist pulled an abscessed tooth when I was in the hospital for 10 days, and for 8 of those days, I thought I was going to die. So looking back when I was little, a lot of people that I've talked to who can easily communicate with spirits or have experiences with spirits, a lot of them have had a near-death experience at some point. And, I'm curious if that has something to do with it. But I had a few experiences as I grew older, but I tried to kind of explain them away, even when they couldn't be explained away. But it wasn't until about 4 years ago that I stumbled back into this whole thing by accident. And the way I look at it now is there really are no accidents in life. I think things happen for a reason, from the people you meet, the places you go, the things you witness. I think everything happens for a reason. And I was actually on the internet trying to debunk orbs. A friend of mine asked me about orbs, and I said, oh, it's just dust. And I was looking up YouTube for an explanation video, and next thing you know, I stumble onto a video talking about a spirit box. So I watched it, and I immediately was skeptical of it because, you know, I hear this box being turned on, and it was saying the man's name. It was answering his question. I researched and found out, well, the best, you know, box at the time that you could get was a Frank's box. So this is a really weird story. I read up on the Frank's box, and I'm like, well, that's the one I want to try. So I happened to go onto Craigslist, and I just searched Frank's box. And lo and behold, there was a Frank's box for sale about 15 minutes from me. And so I emailed the guy, and he's like, yeah, I'll sell it to you for $200. I don't want this thing. I need it out of my house or whatever. So I was like, okay. So I met him, picked it up, and I thought it was odd. I still think it's odd that there was one right when I happened to search for it and stumble onto this whole thing. Because you usually don't see a Frank's box on Craigslist, which is kind of odd. So I brought it home, turned it on. You know, I started recording with a video camera. And I asked if anyone said my name. And then I said, who is this? It said Paul. Then a woman said, be careful. So I was like, what the heck? There's something to this. So after that, I bought a couple other boxes. I picked up a PSD-7, a Hack, you know, Radio Shack, and started using them almost on a daily basis with my son, who also was getting into it at the time. And we kind of got hooked. It was almost like pulling us into it. We started, you know, making boxes and creating all these things, trying to filter out the noise. And we started getting amazing, amazing direct replies. And some of them were so clear that there was no explaining them away. So basically, that's how it started, and the more we did it, the more activity in my house that there was. And back in the beginning, because I realized that this was indeed real and there was something talking to me and answering my questions, it scared us a little bit in the beginning, to where, you know, at the time, you hear so much about demons and spirits attacking you, possessing you. So I was like, wow, well, if this is real, then maybe that's real and they can get me. So it was kind of frightening for a couple weeks until we figured out basically what I always tell people is, don't fear it. If you fear it, that feeds it. So I haven't feared it in years, and I've never had a problem. But to answer the question more quickly is, yeah, I've had some experiences when I was little, and it all led up, you know, to where I'm at today, basically.
Yeah, and I've heard a lot of things about, like, near-death experiences and how they basically bring them closer to the spiritual side. I know a couple friends that actually have members on their team just because they had a near-death experience, and they're like a ghost magnet, as they call them. They seem to just kind of go towards them, and it's the same thing with me. I'm like, I don't know what it is, but I've never had a near-death experience. But if there is a little child spirit inside a place, it's going to come right to me. And I don't know if it's the big burly beard and my stature, but even inside like the Velisk Axe Murder House, they came right to me. And Lena was actually flirting with me through the spirit box. And then we started...
That can happen too.
Yeah, it's weird how that happens.
It's crazy.
But,
yeah, it's crazy. They're, like what you say, like they come to you. I have the same thing no matter where I go. If I record with anything, even my phone, I'm going to pick up an EVP. And I don't understand why that is or how that happened, but I attribute it to also somewhat of getting heavily into this for a while, where I was doing sessions almost every night. And I think the more you do, they realize that, hey, this guy can communicate with us, so we're going to stick around him. That's a theory, of course. I don't know, but It's pretty crazy when you think about it, you know.
Yeah, I don't necessarily have activity in my house until I turn the Echo Vox on or the GB1 or the SB7. Mm-hmm. And then I'm a believer that once you turn it on, there's like white light that just goes around you and you're like glowing in the dark. And they're like, oh, my God, he's got something open. Let's run to him. And all of a sudden the voices just start coming through. And it's
That's
an awesome
feeling. Like.
Yeah, it's an awesome feeling. But I know you hear a lot of people say, oh, you're crazy for doing it inside your house. Have you had any kind of crazy experiences inside your house after a session or anything like that?
In the beginning, when we were fearful of it a little bit, I'd say the second week in, it was probably the second weekend, I was living alone. My son was here half the week, and then the other half he'd go to his mother's. And I remember I was by myself, and I laid down in bed to go to bed, and I had just done a session with a spirit box in my kitchen. And I go to bed, turn off the light, turn off the TV. As soon as I put my head down, a really loud, clear whisper in my ear said, Steve, wake up. So I jumped up, turned on the TV, turned on the light, and I was freaked out. You know, other than that, hearing the voices in real time, which I do, my fiance now does, my son does, nothing bad, nothing negative happens in my house. Now, I haven't done a session here. I was taking a little break from doing sessions. I probably haven't done one in almost 2 weeks. And I was walking through the house 2 days ago, and I heard a female say, Steve. And I'm, like, looking around. Of course, nobody was here. Then I also heard a hey. So I don't know if they're, like, saying, hey, turn on your box or what. But I'm probably going to do a session tonight, actually. But I've never had any bad experiences. I've had the bed shake. I've had things that I've seen. I've seen a blue, almost electric form over my bed hovering, and I just laid there and studied it, like, for as long as it was there. I didn't want to get scared of it and run or do anything. I really couldn't figure out what it was. But things like that, but none of it scares me anymore. You know, it doesn't bother me. If the bed shakes, I just ask them to stop, and it stops. Debbie, my fiance, woke me up a while ago, and she's like, the bed's shaking. So I sit up, and I'm like, oh, yeah, it is shaking. So I said, can you please stop? We're trying to sleep. And it instantly stops. And it's not a violent shaking. It's nothing like exorcist-style shaking. It's a smooth, slow, rhythmic, almost like they're trying to wake you up, which is really strange. I don't know why they want to do that. Maybe they want to talk. I don't know. But, yeah, so I haven't had any bad experiences, and I've done so many sessions in my house, and there's been no issues.
Now, for the people that, I mean, it's probably not possible, but the people that haven't heard your sessions or anything like that, what exactly do you do with them, live group sessions? What is the whole theory behind that?
Oh, the group sessions?
Yes.
Oh, well, those I do once a month, and I started it as an experiment. I was getting so many clear replies, and I was getting so many emails asking me, can you contact my father, my mother, my son, you know? And I just could not keep up with the messages. There was no way I'd be able to sit there and try to do sessions. And I don't even know if it would work. So one day I said, well, I'm going to try to get people to come together all over the world. They stay in their home. I just asked them to, say I was doing a session tonight, I would ask them to meditate for 15 to 20 minutes during the day of the session, where they, and I give full instructions where they would ask the loved one they're trying to reach to come through to me that night. So we did it the first time where everybody meditated in their own home. They didn't have to do anything. They didn't have to log on anywhere. And that night I would do the session and record it. The next day I go through everything, and a day later or so I post it, and I ask people, well, if you hear anything relevant to you or who you were asking for, let me know. And the first session we had quite a few people, or I had quite a few people say, that was my father, that was my mother. And I'm like, well, there's no way to prove, you know, who these spirits are, but we'll do more of these. So now we're on, I'm going to be doing group session number 9 on the 26th of October. And sometimes there's 1,000 people, 1,200 people that join in all over the world. And these messages just come through nonstop. And some of them are so clear, and some of them are so strange. Like, you know, one of them was, I like beer. And then another one right after that said drunk, And then another one, a woman said that being fingerless gloves or something like that. And a woman said, well, my mother was knitting fingerless gloves the day she died, you know, and I'm like, well, yeah, that could be something. So all these people are getting, not everyone, but a lot of the people are claiming that they're getting replies from their loved ones. So I still call it experimental, but it's getting to the point where it's kind of getting hard to dispute, you know, and everybody loves it, and it's free. I don't charge anything, and I find it fascinating myself, which is why I'm doing them. But when I do them, I do it for about an hour, and by the end of it, I am just wiped out mentally and physically, and all I'm doing is sitting there, you know, and talking a little bit. So it's definitely something coming through, and when I do those sessions, I feel like there's so many spirits present, and that makes it like electrified in there. So there's something to it and something going on, and everybody loves it. So I'm gonna keep doing it.
Yeah, you get what I call paranormal hangover.
yeah,
because it's like me when I go on an investigation. That next day, I'm done. I'm spent. I'm sleeping. Yeah. I'm just lounging around, and I feel like, you know, when you were 21 years old and you went out and partied all night, and then you woke up, and that's the feeling I get after investigation. It's because you get mentally drained, and
yeah,
stuff you go through. We had a question in chat a little bit ago. He was from out of country, but he was asking if you believe that spirits can come through in different languages. Have you ever had that happen for you?
Sure, I've had German, I've had Spanish, I've had Italian, I've had French. It's not very often, but people find these in the group sessions, and they'll say, hey, that was in French, or that was in German, you know, and so it does, but I don't notice it in real time, because I don't know these other languages, so if something odd comes in, I don't flag it or point it out, because I don't know what's being said, and a lot of people are telling me, well, that's German, and then they tell me what it means, you know, and so yeah, that it happens. But I also believe that as the operator, say you or I, you know, if we're doing a session and our language is English, I believe, and it's a theory, that spirits can speak to you in your native language. I think even if I reached out and was trying to get someone who was German and lived in Germany, I believe they can talk to me in English. I don't think that there's any limits.
Yeah, and that's
but that's just my theory.
Yeah, and the funny thing was, I don't know if you remember, it was I think 3 or 4 years ago when Taps actually went to Germany and went to that castle, and he was trying to talk to them in English, and people on the internet, because you give somebody a keyboard, they're automatically a warrior, was saying like the stuff like, oh, you go to German and you're talking to somebody from the 1800s and you're trying to get them to talk in English, but. I've had French myself come through the Echovox, and we didn't really notice it until we actually slowed it down. And one of the statements it had made, I can't speak French, but it said something like "tu es foutu," and that basically means you've done effed up in French.
Wow!
And then listening to that footage more, we noticed that it was trying to like throw voodoo on us. It was speaking voodoo through the Echovox, and it was a crazy night in West Virginia, but. We got some crazy names to come through and all that. But have you ever been physically touched by a spirit, or has it just been speaking to them?
There was one time. Well, I feel them when they're around me, but it doesn't feel like a person touching me. It feels totally different. But there was one time that I physically felt, I'd say, about 30 hands on me at one time. And it was in San Diego at the Cosmopolitan Hotel. It was a couple years ago, and my son and I were there, and I think it was around Halloween a couple years ago, and we were doing a session in the room, you know, it's supposed to be a haunted hotel, and we were hearing footsteps walking around our bed, we heard a cat, when there's no cat in there, we had the bed shaking quite a bit, and at one point we were trying to go to sleep. I was like, Dad. And I'm like, what? He's like, somebody's touching me on my back. And I'm like, but you're laying on the bed. He's like, but it feels like it's coming underneath me. So he was getting nervous. And I'm like, well, sit up, you know, and I asked him to stop, laid down. And the next thing you know, I felt like my whole underside of my body was being massaged by like multiple hands. And it felt like fingers and hands pushing up through the bed. And I was just sitting there like, how is this happening? And I'm like, am I going crazy? Because this is physical. So I said, okay, you need to stop right now. And then it stopped. And every time we would lay down to turn out the light, there would be a disruption. About 6 times it happened, different things. And then it finally stopped. So that was the only time I physically felt like a physical thing touching me. But every other time, it's just when something's near me or around me, I can literally see it behind me, in front of me, left of me, or right. And I validated that by pulling out a recorder, and I would say, are you to my left? And I'd get an EVP saying yes, and a whisper, a slow whisper. You know, so it's like, it's just so amazing when you think about it, because I remember when I was growing up and everybody, you know, the mindset of everybody was spirits aren't real, ghosts aren't real. And today, with all of the information out there and the internet and TV shows, even though a lot of TV shows go a little overboard, they are bringing awareness to mass amounts of people that, hey, there's something to this. So a lot of people accept it now, but it's just, every time I think about all these things that's happened, it just kind of boggles my mind. But, you know.
Yeah, and that's
pretty cool. It's fascinating.
Yeah, it is. And that was one of the questions I had for you, because I know you posted something, God, what was it, about a week ago? And it caused a little bit of controversy between a whole bunch of people, the whole Queen Mary investigation from the Ghost Adventure show. Do you think that with that group going into these places, and, you know, it is overboard, them running around screaming demon, and all this stuff, but do you think it's actually benefiting the paranormal community, or do you think it's actually hurting it?
I think it's doing both. I think it's benefiting it because, like I said, it's raising awareness. And, you know, millions of people watch Ghost Adventures. So, you know, a lot of them watch it as entertainment and just assume it's fake. But a lot of them are like, hey, this show's been on for 10, 11 years, however long it's been on. And they keep showing this evidence. So there's got to be something. So in that way, it's raising awareness. And for some, it's, to me, I find it also, it's harming it a little bit because I know how TV works, and I know what they have to do for TV. They have to do the overreacting. They have to do the drama. And unbelievably, all the TV networks for this year and last year were heavily pushing. They wanted a demon-related show, like Demon Hunters or going out and catching demons. So that brings scares. So with scares, there's ratings. What I said about the Queen Mary episode is basically I enjoyed it. It was very entertaining. And the EVPs that were caught, one of them especially matched up to the EVP I caught on the ship a few months ago. And so that was pretty impressive because I'm like, well, it's the same exact voice. So there's the same spirit hanging out there. But what I didn't like is when they were, you know, they didn't come out and trying to portray, well, Jackie, the little girl on the ship, she's really could be a demon or evil entity. And they're saying, I feel evil. And you know, when I was there, I've been there a few times, and I've never felt anything evil. But it's also, I think, goes along with your mindset. If you go in there thinking, well, I want to, you know, there's going to be evil there, you might sense that there is. Where me, I go there, and I think all positive thoughts and positivity and love, and I only feel warmth and good things. So I guess it depends on the person. But I just dislike how they always demonize so many things. But overall, I enjoyed the show. It was entertaining, you know. So it's like a, you know, pro and con. You raise awareness, but also it can hurt the paranormal community because everything is now demon. Of course, I say that there's no way to prove it, but from my experience, I haven't had any bad experiences like that.
Yeah, and so, the thing is, go ahead.
I was just going to say, it did cause some controversy and people were misunderstanding what I was saying. I actually respect Ghost Adventures because they're out there, they're doing it, they're raising awareness, they're entertaining, they're putting out a good show. Whether or not, you know, some things are staged or not, whatever, it doesn't matter. It's a show and it's doing well for them, you know?
Yeah, and they've made it how long on Travel Channel, so they're doing something right.
Yeah, it's been a while.
Because you see these other shows that pop up, like Deep South Paranormal and all these other ones, like the new one, Ghost Asylum. And I don't see them lasting a while because they're competing against the bigger names like that. And it's just, it's rough.
Yeah, yeah. There's a lot of shows popping up and then they're lasting a season or two. But, you know, I'm sure there'll be something coming along that'll stick and compete with Ghost Adventures. I actually like Ghost Adventures better than Ghost Hunters these days, because it's a little more entertaining and exciting and, you know, edge-of-your-seat kind of stuff, so...
Yeah, I had, yeah. Before we went to the Velisk X Murder House, I actually took my team up there, and I sat down and I watched the Ghost Adventures show from there, and just kind of seeing what they got and everything, and they really didn't get much the nights that they were in there. They got that EVP, they got, I think, the door closing, and that was really about all. So when me and my team member, Cher, were riding up there, we're all excited, and we're like, yeah, we're going into Velisk X Murder House and all this and that. And from 7:30 p.m. to 3:45 a.m., it was nonstop. I have never been in a place so active in my life that actually we literally packed our stuff up at 3:45 in the morning. I told every, because we had one guy on the outside. He was on the verge of a mental breakdown because he was literally scratched four times in front of us. We had stuff coming through the spirit boxes and the new Alice. It's like the Ovilus.
Yeah, I've seen that.
Yeah, we've had that. We had stuff coming through there, like pertaining to the stuff that happened to me the day before that literally made me make a phone call to make sure that somebody was still alive. I mean, the spirit was messing with us. And I finally said, you know what? I've got 8 hours of evidence. That's good enough for me. And that whole ride back, we were just like, me and Cher were in the car, and it was quiet the whole ride home, 2.5 hours. And we were just like, what in the hell just happened? Because, I mean, we got a whole different name to come through. I actually got up the courage to go up into the attic by myself and had my cell phone thrown across the room on me. And I didn't believe in this stuff. I was like, what the hell just happened? Like, and Echo Fox responses and all that. So it was pretty crazy. But it was just one of the things to where we caught it on an active night. So
I also think, like you touched on, that there are certain people like you who attracts activity. I'm the same way. Whereas Ghost Adventures, maybe those guys don't attract as much activity, but there are some people that do. So that could be a reason why you were able to capture so much evidence and have so much activity.
Yeah, we actually...
It has a lot to do...
Oh, so go ahead.
I was just saying, I think it has a lot to do with the person as well as the environment.
Yeah, well, see, because that whole night, and I won't get too long into this because this is your interview, but we had like four or five people that were scheduled to go up there, and the couple days prior, my friend that's a really big, she's a big medium and a psychic around here, she was supposed to go up with us, and I bought a whole brand new DVR system. We were going to throw her up in the attic by herself and let her bring them out to us, and she went to get her legs drained because she had a lot of problems with her legs. Well, she ended up having a massive heart attack in between that.
Oh, Jesus.
And then had, like, ventilation tubes down her throat and everything. Well, I didn't think anything about it. She's in ICU. We go up there. We get up to Velisca. And the other girl that had won a spot on my paranormal page, I contacted her. And I was like, are you coming out? She's like, I can't. My dad's in the ICU. He had a massive heart attack. And I was like, uh-uh. Wow. This can't be happening. And it was like something was just dragging me and my team member up there. They just wanted us alone. Well, we got to two other people up there, and we got to validation later on in that night when they came through, and they were basically telling me that the murderer that was inside that house or whatever's inside that house seen me as a big brother. And that night, he felt like he didn't finish the job. So that's why he was very vocal to me. And, I mean, cussing me out, saying my first and last name, and taunting me, laughing at me. And it was crazy. So that was like one of the most terrifying events that I've had. I mean, what would you consider the most terrifying event for you?
I haven't really had anything terrifying, but I've had, you know, things. It's in one of my videos. The only time I've ever had anything physically thrown, I was in a hotel in Nashville, Tennessee, doing a business for my camera blog, and I was dead tired. I think I just got back from a Halloween party, and I was dead tired, and we were in a haunted hotel, or I was told it was haunted, the Hermitage Hotel. I think that was the name of it. So I'm in ready to go to bed, and I'm like, oh, I'm going to skip the session. But then I'm like, no, I better do one. So I set my Sandian ghost box on the bed, near the foot of the bed, and I just started recording. And, you know, and I'm doing the typical, okay, who's here with me? Can you come through? And then there was a plate on my nightstand that just whipped and flew, right? And when I looked the camera over, it's near my feet. So when I said, who did that? The box said, Satan. It's loud and clear. So that freaked me out a little bit, even though, you know, I have this policy of no fear, but it did freak me out a little bit. So that night I slept with the TV on. And that was only because it was the first time ever that something physically was moved or thrown like that. And before that, I didn't think that that could happen. So things always surprise me. I'm always finding out new things, you know. So
yeah, it's always good when you find that new thing out and you're like, whoa, what the heck just happened?
Yeah, I know.
You always get that one mean guy that comes through, and I know he does. That's the same thing around here. Every time we turn that GB1 on, we got what we call Shrine Park Man, because he just cusses and screams at us. But it's just a very evil guy. I mean, there's nothing demonic about him. He's just an evil guy that he's disgruntled. So
I used to get that all the time. Actually, I don't get that much anymore, but I used to get that quite often. Like the mean, rotten, you know, spirits coming through and saying nasty things, and I would just tell them, you know, I'm not, it doesn't faze me, say what you want, or whatever, but it eventually stopped, and I haven't had anything like that in a while.
Yeah, well, and I wanted to kind of switch a little bit, and I know you speak a lot about your spirit guide. Is it Eva or Eva?
Yeah, Eva. Mm-hmm.
And when was the first time you actually came in contact with her? How did that go? I mean, how did you do it?
It was pretty interesting. This was back a few years ago, or whatever. And I saw a video on YouTube. I can't remember her name. There's a woman on there who does spiritual stuff where she talks like a vlog, you know. And the title was How to Connect with Your Spirit Guide. So I'm like, I'll watch this and see. So she went through these instructions, you know. And so I'm like, okay, well, I'll follow these instructions and I'll try it, not expecting anything to happen. And when I did it, you know, I'm like in this meditation and I'm not even thinking about the outside world. I'm totally in the moment. And you know, you're going down this hallway and you're supposed to pick, you know, there's all these doors and you're supposed to pick the door that feels right. And when you open this door, you will be greeted, you know, with your guide or guides. I actually have a couple of them, and they come up and tell you who they are, and they tell you, and it was pretty crazy that all this was happening. So then I'm like, well, maybe I was just imagining, because that was part of the instructions, you know, to go down this hall. And next thing you know, after I get a couple of the names, they started coming through the spirit box. And I'm like, well, that's kind of odd. And now I always get Ava constantly. And even when I've done investigations on location, there's a medium actually here who I know I'm friends with, and he owns an astrology store in Glendale, Arizona, and I've done some stuff with him, and you know, he's sensed and picked up on her before I even would mention it, and she's been validated so many times. Except I was a little worried the last session I did. I don't know if it was the GB1 ghost box, I don't remember, but Ella Ava, or like, Ava's in trouble. I'm like, what the heck's going on? You know, I think it was before the last group session, but yeah. So it's just something I found on YouTube with instructions, and I followed the instructions, and it worked for me. And ever since then, her name and another one was Lillian. Those names have come through for me many times. And if I sit there and meditate and ask for them, you know, to show me they're here, they'll do their thing. Like, for Ava, I'll feel this warmth on the top of my head, very, very warm, intense. And with Lillian, it's like I feel it in my gut, and it's just like really a strange sensation. Now, a lot of people will say, well, you're just imagining it, you know, you're bringing it on. Who knows? I got the names, they're coming through my box all the time, and I'm communicating with them in some ways, and I feel that they're helping me with communication as well. So it's pretty astonishing when you sit back and think about it, you know. But if anybody wants to try it, I suggest going on YouTube and searching how to connect with your spirit guide, and you might find the original video. I wish I could remember her name, but I don't.
Yeah, because I literally just watched one 2 weeks ago, I think it was now, and it was some guy. But I was always told, don't use YouTube stuff. Don't use YouTube stuff because it's fake and all this stuff.
Yeah.
But I was like, all right, I'm going to try this one out. It was like 28 minutes long. He tells you to lay down in your bed and start thinking of the stuff and put your headphones on. And he comes through the right and the left side. But it actually, he didn't say anything about the door. He said, just go to the place that your mind takes you. And it actually took me to like this huge tree out in the middle of the country. And then he's like, all right, if your spirit guide's there, ask for him. Are you here, spirit guide? And then all of a sudden, I seen a guy walking up from the distance. And he was wearing a black hat, a black jacket, a white shirt. He wasn't an older guy, but he had wrinkles under his eyes. I seen everything. But the funny thing about that was, after I made contact with him, two nights later, I had my show, and we had Debbie Markham on. She's a well-known medium. And... Okay. We had a live call come through, and she was like, my house is being haunted and all this and that. And she's like, can you try to speak to him? She's like, well, and she started thinking, and she's like, there's a guy coming through. He's got a black jacket on, a white shirt, a black hat. And I was like, that's me. And I was like, that's Hank. Okay. Hank's trying to talk to
that's
me.
Awesome.
So, but it was that validation. She knew nothing about it. She was just like, he looks like this. So it was awesome, and it was like live on radio. I was like, that's me. Don't mind him. He's trying to talk to me right now. And I did. I made physical contact with him.
That's cool when you have validation like that. That's really awesome.
Yeah, because in the recording, it says something like, now ask him if he wants to make physical contact with you. And I felt this like very cool breeze just embrace my whole body like he was hugging me. And even when I was in that meditation... I mean, I was out of it, and I was meditating. He was hugging me. Like, he came up and hugged me, and then I felt it, and it was like, wow. But this was the same guy that mediums have told me many times before that he's back there. He's just waiting for the right time. So it's awesome when you kind of connect with that. She ever?
I mean, it really is.
Does she ever bring any kind of messages to you for, like, other people, or is it just for you?
No, she's brought messages for other people. She also likes to say, be careful all the time. to me, she also has given me warnings about, not so nice spirits coming through. Like I said, I think she's helping with the communication. Like some people who use ghost boxes, I don't do this, but a lot of people say, well, can I have a technician to help, you know, communication. I believe spirit guides are the technicians. They're the ones who are helping. And some people just are not aware of who their spirit guide is or how to connect with them. But it's possible, and it's real, and it's there. So I believe that that's what it is. They're here to help. And, you know, they're with us. Everything you've read and, you know, read about, that they've been with us since we were born. And like you said, waiting for the right time. So, you know, a lot of people... the right time will come if they want to connect with their spirit guide eventually.
Exactly. And you have them coming through like all your GB1, your spirit boxes, your Frank's box, and all this other stuff.
GB1, every box I have, Echo Box and GB1, all has messages from Ava saying her name. They all say my name, you know. And it's when I first put up a GB1 video, it's funny because the GB1 came out, I didn't even know about it. I wasn't a beta tester. I didn't know Anthony, the guy who made it. I had no idea who he was. And the day it was released, a guy said, hey, you should check this out. It's pretty cool. So I'm like, oh, what's this? So he had a link to download it for a free trial at that time. So I downloaded it. I downloaded it on my Mac, and I'm like, wait, it's for Windows. So I had to borrow a friend's laptop. So I put it on there, tried it out, and I recorded the session, and I was getting... one of the first things that came through was, this is Ava. Another one was something about Billy, which was another spirit boy. that I believe I helped cross over, and all these familiar names were coming through that I would always get with my boxes. So I'm like, what the hell's going on? So I contacted the designer, and I'm like, this is crazy. And he knew who I was, and he's like, oh, I'm so happy you like it, and you know, it's awesome that you're using it. And he was a really great guy. And then all of a sudden, he started getting attacked, saying your app is fake because it uses programmed words and sounds. And there's over 11,000 words and sounds in the app, as well as it scanning it scans UHF frequencies via Bluetooth for some of the sounds and voices as well. And what I tell people is it's just, you know, even if it has the word Ava in there, what are the odds that when I say, who is here with me, the response right away is, this is Ava. I mean,
exactly.
It would be like, it would be some pretty high odds against it coming up. So then I would ask for Billy, and then they would say, Billy is gone, or Billy has left. And I'm like, okay, it's direct replies. I ask it in my name, it will say Steve, and then I'll be like, well, what's my last name? And it sounds like it's saying Huff. So it's a pretty intense app, and I think that I told Anthony, I'm like, what you created with that app, it's kind of like the perfect storm for spirits to come through. And as well, when you record and play back, I get what appears to be EVPs blended in as well, because I did not hear them in real time. So I believe that the noise, whatever he's done, it's kind of like a perfect setting for spirits to be able to manipulate it, as well as leave messages that are relevant. And it works. I mean, every time I use it, it just blows my mind. And I've even done the comparison videos. And one day I said, can you give me something that will prove or show me that this is real and works, so I can say, yes, it works. And it said, one, don't get two. And I was like, oh my God, I know what that phrase is, because months prior, when I was using my Joe's box, and I had received the voice of Joe, the guy who designed it, and there was one on eBay getting up there in the bid, and I'm like, should I buy it? And I had the box on it. His voice said, one, don't get two. So when the GB1 said, one, don't get two, even though it was a female voice, that was like validation, like, okay, she's saying a familiar phrase. And I've also had the GB1 patch words together to form a sentence, and the odds of that happening are astronomically, you know, high. So there is definitely something to GB1. So I think it's an amazing app. I think Echo Box is an amazing app. Those are the only two that I recommend, because they're just so out there and over the edge tech-wise compared to this style. But the one you were using, that Alice, looks interesting as well. I haven't used it yet, though.
Yeah, and I was actually, and I'm not trying to promote it, I was a beta tester for that. I was like one of the first people to ever use it. And I was like, you know what, screw it, we're going into Velisca X Murder House. I'll open it up and I'll give it 30 minutes. I'll see what it says. But that night, some of the stuff that was coming through, we were just like, okay, what's going on here? We weren't talking about some of the stuff, so the microphone couldn't have been picked it up. And it was just... And at one point, my team member, Cher, her ex-husband came through the spirit box, his voice and everything. And we started talking to that, and she was talking to him. She said, I want you to talk to me through the Alice. Say some stuff. And it come across, and it said something like manual, like, I need the manual. And she's like, you don't need the manual. You know how to work computers. But one of the most touching moments of that night was after Michael had gotten scratched, I think for the second time, Cher took him downstairs, and she was going to white sage him on spot. We were going to cleanse him and do all the stuff. Well, as she's going downstairs, the Alice comes up, and all it says is husband across the screen. So me and Caleb are upstairs. I got the SB7 going. Caleb starts yelling, thinking it's the husband that was killed, Mr. Moore. He's like, you're not a very good religious man. If you're scratching people, if you're attacking people, why would your husband do this? And he's just screaming husband at the top of his lung. And all of a sudden we hear the door slam downstairs, and then like a thump, 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 thump. Cher's running up the stairs, and she's like, what's going on? And I said, husband, come across that screen. Caleb's just kind of putting him in his place a little bit. And she was like, no, I walked down them stairs. And she said, my exact words out of my mouth was, Michael, if you're here, let us know through that device. And right as she said that, husband come across the screen. And yeah, I pulled her in. And I said, "Cher, it's still on the screen right there." And she just stopped, and you could see the tears welling up in her eyes. And it was like one of the moments where I'm like, "What is this device?" So
it's the same concept as the Ovilus, but the Ovilus is $300, and that's like $40.
Yeah, and you know the funny thing is, I bought the Ovilus 3, and it wouldn't. Yeah, it wouldn't work for me. The screen would never show the words. Well, just like 3 weeks ago, I took it down to one of my friends. It's actually, he works for Bill Chappell, and we were going on an investigation with him, and I handed it to him. I was like, "What the hell's up with this thing?" And I'm not shitting you. He touched it, and the words showed up, and I'm like, okay, make me look out to be a fool now. But it is. It's awesome how the technology is switching up. And, like, we're able to use our apps. I'm looking at the Flex Ghost Box 1 on my desktop right now. I mean, we use that thing religiously. But my my team member, she used to use the Echovox. She loved that thing when it came out because there was no white noise. It gives you a headache.
Yeah, exactly. The white noise does give you a headache. It's irritating.
So we brought the Echovox, and we were using that. She's like, "I love this thing." Well, when I bought the GB1, I ran it over to her house real quick, and I was like, "You're going to love this one." I said, "It's like the Echovox, but it's 10 times clearer, I would say." And she's like, "What?"
Yeah, it's easy, you know. It's easier to understand because it's super clear, and it uses words in the database, much like an Ovilus. You know, it's just crazy how some of that stuff pops out.
Yeah, 2 weeks ago, we actually had Danny on our show talking about the Echovox, and he explained some of it. And I liked how he explained the Echovox. It was basically an aha moment. This works.
Yeah.
So it was a pretty good interview with him, and it's on my podcast and everything. But, it was something else to actually get into his mind and see why did you create this and all this stuff. And
Danny's great. I talk to him we message each other all the time. We've talked on the phone a few times, but we always want to get together and meet up and do something together, like investigation or something. And hasn't worked out yet, but one day we're going to cross paths. But he's a great guy.
Yeah, that I spent like an hour and a half with him on the radio, and I was like, I got to meet this guy. He's right up my alley. So, he has a sense of humor and everything. And I mean, when I asked him, I was like, "Why did you create the Echovox?" He was like, "It was an aha moment." And I was like, and then I started questioning him about the words that were in there and everything. And he's like, "The words are in there," but he said it's not one of them ones where it's going to give you an intelligent response. They kind of pick and pull them and put them together for a response. And I mean, I'm a believer in the Echovox, and I know a lot of people are still skeptical about it.
No, it's definite. I mean, in my opinion, it's been proven over and over, but not by just myself, but by many people. The things that have come through for me have just been phenomenal. Sometimes I'll turn it on and get nothing. And sometimes I'll turn it on and have the most amazing conversations. So it's definitely for real, and it's definitely along the lines of all these other things. You know, basically spirits are manipulating the app. They're manipulating the database of sounds and words. And I think also that if you're new to Echovox, say, and you just downloaded it and you turned it on, you're going to hear a bunch of gibberish, and you're like, "What is this?" You know, it's nothing. But you know, the secrets to Echovox are keep using it, record the sessions, play it back and listen to it, and listen closely when you ask a question. And once your ears start to get trained for the way Echovox sounds, you're going to be able to pick out the replies, and they're there. It's a pretty crazy app, and it was the first app that I feel was like groundbreaking and something new and fresh. And so I'm glad, you know, that Danny made it, and I hope to see him do more stuff in the future as well.
Yeah, and that was one of my questions, and I basically know your answer, but with all these apps coming out, and like the GB1, the Echovox, the Alice, and Ghost Radar, and all this stuff, do you think it's helping the community, making it more accessible to anybody and everybody that just wants to download it and spend the $20, or do you think it's awesome?
I think it is. I think it is because not everybody wants to spend $60 to $300 on a physical ghost box. Now, I love my boxes. They're I have a whole collection of them, and each one is unique. Each one delivers different kinds of sound and results. But I love those just as much. You know, I love the apps, because you could download them for $20 for Echo Box or $20-$30 for GB1. It's way more accessible and instant. You can just go download it instantly, for example, on your phone, Echo Box. And that is bringing it to a lot more people. Now, a lot of people will download it. I'd say probably 60% of the people who download it will try it once, not hear anything, and they're like, oh, I wasted my money. But the people who are serious about it, and then out of those serious people, there's going to be some who are kind of spirit magnets, and they're going to really get replies with it. And that's when they share the videos and it spreads. And yeah, I think just awareness is going through the roof. And I think within 5-10 years, it's going to be accepted as normal, you know, that this is real. There's something to this.
Yeah. Well, do you do any kind of like residential cases, or do you just kind of stick to your own?
I've done a few residential. There was one I did with a friend who lives here in Phoenix. He has his own team here. But me and him went into a house that the owners moved out of. They were claiming they moved because of demonic activity and evil entities and all kinds of crazy stuff going on, little spirits with red eyes. And I was like, well, I don't know about that, but we'll see. So we go in there, and it was pretty intense, the feelings that I was getting. And I picked up a lot of EVPs that were not very nice. And at one point I had my Andes box going, and my voice started feeling like it was being squeezed and I couldn't talk. It was getting almost like I was losing my voice. And I was drinking water, trying to clear it. I couldn't clear it. So I said, are you doing this to my voice? And I forgot the name, but it said something like Peter is. It said a name that, yes, he's doing something to my voice. So I was like, what the heck? But there was definitely a negative vibe in the house. You know, nothing major happened besides that. But so I've done that. We've done a couple other residential cases. And I would love to do more. It's just I need time to do it. And in 2015, I'm going to be going to quite a few places. I'm going to start doing a lot more stuff. I'll have a little more time. So yeah, but most of the time, you know, I'm working so much that I just, and when it gets late, I'll go into my back room and do a little session here. And if anything incredible comes out, I'll post it.
Yeah, and that's awesome that you post it, because a lot of people are afraid to because of the skeptics out there.
Yeah, a lot of people are called crazy, and I could care less. I mean, there's some people out there who hate me and they're just trying to attack me, and I really don't care, because the way I look at it is, and even negative press is good press. It brings people to you. And half of the people that come from those haters are like, hey, this guy's the real deal. So I'm just getting more and more people out of it. And, you know, they can live life the way they want to in a negative way. And I'll live the way I want to in a positive way.
And that's the way I put it, too. Bad publicity is still publicity. So
exactly.
If you want to post.
I'll take it all.
Yeah. Yeah, because I literally just had my first naysayer on my YouTube channel, and he was like, I could point some things out wrong with this, but I don't have all day. And I was like, you're just commenting because you're a keyboard warrior. And I mean, if you literally seen something wrong, you would post it, but you're just trying to drive people away, and it's just not going to work. But
no.
I remember when I first started off, I'm going to tell you this, I will admit it right now. I first started Paranormal World on Facebook. I used to watch your Facebook page.
Oh, really?
And I used to say, you know what? One of these days, I'm going to be like Steve Huff. and then within 5 months, I had 50,000 followers. And at that time, I think you had 65,000. And I was like, I'm catching up to him.
That's awesome.
And then all of a sudden, you blew up to like almost 90,000. I'm like, I'm done.
Keep going, man. You can pass me up. It's like we're all in this together.
Yeah, it's like a pair of unity thing. But I was like, I'd watch all your group sessions and all your videos, and I mean, it was kind of one of them things where I was like, this is pretty awesome stuff. And I mean, you basically turned me on to the Echo Box and all this other stuff, like you did many people.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Even when you like looking at the hacked boxes and all this stuff, I mean, the first place most people go is HuffParanormal.com. Because they want to see if you've written a review on it.
That's cool. Yeah, it's pretty cool. I enjoy doing it, though. It's like, I don't make any money with it, but I enjoy doing it. It's a passion. It's something that I get enjoyment from. So as long as I'm around, I think I'm going to keep going with it.
Yeah, it does. It keeps calling you back.
What's that?
I said it keeps calling you back.
Yeah, it does. It does.
Well, I tell you what, we're going to take a quick break. Do you mind taking a couple callers?
Oh, not at all. I'd love to.
All right. We're going to do that. I will give the listeners a fair warning. Here on No Whiners Radio, we do things kind of different. It's a first-come, first-served basis. So basically, the first number that pops up, I'm taking it. That's going to make it a lot harder on the people that want to crank call. But what I'm going to do is I'm going to post a number in chat, and then we will get that going. I'm going to play a short song. Let me see if I can find one that's pretty short.
So what do we have, about three, four minutes?
Yeah, we got 3 or 4 minutes, so I figure we'd take like one or two calls, and then we can end it off, and I can send you on a way. You've given us more than enough time. So.
Oh, sounds good. I'm having a good time, though. It's great.
Yeah, all right. Well, we'll be back here in about 2 minutes and 50 seconds. I'm going to post a number in chat for you to call. So the first person that gets through is going to be able to talk to Steve Huff from Huff Paranormal. So here's a little dancing song for you. We'll be back here.
Jason. Jason.
Get jazzy on.
I'm that flight that you get on. International. First class seat on my lap, girl. Riding comfortable. Cause I know what that girl them need. New York to Haiti. Got lipstick stamps on my passport. You make it hard to leave. Been around the world, don't speak the language. But your booty don't need explaining. All I really need to understand is when you
talk dirty to me. Jazzy on them.
You know the words to my songs. No habla English. Our conversations ain't long, but you know what is. I know what that girl them want. London to Taiwan. I got lipstick stamps on my passport. I think I need a new one. Been around the world, don't speak the language. But your booty don't need explaining. All I really need to understand is when you
talk dirty to me.
Arenas, guns on deck. Chest to chest, tongue on neck. International oral sex. Every picture I take, I pose a threat. Bone and jet, what you expect? Her pussy so good, I bought her a pet. Anyway, every day I'm trying to get to it. Gotta say to my phone on the big booty. Anyway, every day I'm trying to get to it. Gotta say to my phone on the big booty.
Been around the world, don't speak the language. But your booty don't need explaining. All I really need to understand is when you
talk dirty to me.
What? I don't understand.
You are listening to No Whiners Radio and Paranormal World Live. We're back from break. Let's get back to our guest. Here's your man, Rick.
That's all right. Well, the live callers is open. So if you're looking to speak to Steve Huff from Huff Paranormal, I only got a couple minutes left in the show, so I'm going to open the lines up for the callers. If you want to call, give a question, comment, or anything like that, the number is 813-642-7922. I am posting it in chat twice, three times, so you guys can see it. chat is going pretty quick tonight, so. But we'll wait for the first caller to come in. But so do you? What was the moment in your paranormal career where you thought, I've got to put this stuff out on YouTube or anything like that?
Well, I did it right from the beginning because I was just so blown away that it was real and these responses were coming in. So I put it on YouTube originally just to see what people would say, because at the time there wasn't many ghost box videos up. There was a few people doing it, and there was only really one guy that was getting decent responses. So I'm like, well, I'm going to put these up and see what others think about it. And the majority were like blown away by it. And there was only really one guy
Hello?
Hold on. Hold on 1 second.
Is this Rick?
Yeah. You there, Steve?
You are awesome.
Yeah, I'm here.
All right. We're going to have you turn down the audio in the back because you are echoing pretty bad.
Got it.
But go ahead. Who are we speaking with?
This is Melissa from Zephyr Hills, Florida.
All right, Melissa, how you doing? You got a question, comment, or anything for Steve?
Hey, Melissa. Hey, how you
sure
doing?
Hi, Steve. How are you?
Hi, I'm great.
I've often heard about the phrase spirit guide. What's the best way to start looking into that?
About how to connect with your spirit guide?
Yes.
I kind of touched on it earlier, but basically there's like a meditation you can do. I would search YouTube to connect with your spirit guide. I wish I could remember the woman's name. I'm trying to look it up right now. What worked for me, it's just basically like a 20-minute meditation. You lay in your room, lights out. You kind of really go to another place. And everyone has different methods, but it's basically you're connecting with your guide during this meditation. And when you do it, you're like, is that real, or is that just something that I made up in my head? But
right.
if you're into ghost box, EVP, or whatever, you'll probably start getting that guide's name coming through after you connect, which is what happened with me.
I've heard Sylvia Brown speak about that. I know she's passed away now, but she was big on spirit guides. Was she somebody just made up?
Okay. Well, I totally believe in spirit guides. I'm not sure if I believe in everything Sylvia Brown has done, but I do believe in spirit guides, and I have validation that the two that I have connected with are real because they always come through my devices and through EVP as well. So I believe spirit guides are with us since birth, basically, and they're there to watch over us, try to guide us. I also believe that if we go through life following our gut instinct, like say you're going to make a decision and your gut's telling you don't do it, but you really want to do it. 9 times out of 10, if you do it when your gut's telling you no, it's going to end up bad. So if you go through life following your gut instincts, I believe that's your spirit guide telling you what to do, and that's your instinct. So I think they do that, and like with me and others, they help also connect to spirits to come through and communicate. So that's my belief, my theory anyway. But I would search YouTube on how to connect with your spirit guide, and there's one from a woman, I can't remember her name, but just looked at a few of them, and they all pretty much have the same way of doing it, just a little bit different. And give it a try and then see what happens.
Okay, that sounds awesome. Thank you.
All right, Melissa, we appreciate your call.
Thank you.
Thanks for having me.
All right.
Bye.
All right, well, we'll give it a couple seconds, see if something else comes through. And if not, I'll let you get on your way. You've given us more than enough time tonight, and I do appreciate it.
Oh, my pleasure. My pleasure. It's been great. Oh. It's always effortless to talk about this kind of stuff because it's just, you know, I'm so passionate about it, and just the same with you, I can tell. So it's awesome to talk to someone who's like-minded, like, you know, the same thing.
Yeah, exactly. Well, while we're waiting to see if another caller will call in, you want to advertise all your websites? I know you do other stuff with photography and all that.
Yeah, I have HuffParanormal.com, which I update every week or so. It's not a daily updater, but then the Facebook page, which I'm always posting on. My profession is I review cameras and lenses, and that's what I've been doing for 7-8 years, and that's at stevehuffphoto.com. So that takes up about 60 hours a week of my time, which is why I have limited time for this, but I still do what I can. I have the Queen Mary event coming up on Halloween and November 1st. Halloween sold out, but there's a few tickets left for November 1st, which is a Saturday night, and that's a full investigation of all the hot spots of the ship from 11 p.m. to 3:30 a.m. or so. And that's about it. You know, there's some stuff coming up in 2015, but that's pretty far down the road. And the next group session is October 26th. So people can learn about how to join in on that by going to huffparanormal.com and clicking on the group session tab, and it'll have full instructions.
Well, that's awesome. Well, we got another call on our line, and I recognize the first three numbers, and I think I recognize the rest of it. Caller, who are we speaking with?
This is Jason. You know me, Rick.
Yeah, Jason, one of my other team members. You got a question for Steve? Comment?
Yeah, I don't remember hearing it before. You were asking, and I was wondering if he thought we can affect the spirit box or any of the apps, either consciously or subconsciously, or we can influence what it might say.
That's actually a great question, because I feel that it's possible for someone to influence, say, a Ouija board with their mind. So I did a bunch of experiments with some spirit boxes a couple years ago. Pretty much right at the peak of when I was just constantly getting intense replies. So I would sit there, turn it on, and I would just concentrate on certain words, trying to see if I can get them to come through, and I never was able to. I was thinking of colors. I could never get anything to come through. So that's a lot of people have that theory that our minds can somehow subconsciously, you know, bring out these replies. I've seen events of it, and most of the time things that come through that I would never even think of in a million years. So, you know, I would say no, but that doesn't mean that's not possible. It's just it hasn't really been studied enough yet, I'd say.
Cool. All right, well, thank you.
Yeah, thanks for calling.
I'll let you get to another caller.
All right, thank you, Jason.
Yeah, bye.
Yeah, he's one of the guys that I've actually recently investigated with. That's why I recognized the number when it popped up. We'll see if we can grab more, and then we'll let you go.
All right. Any more callers? Come on. Don't be scared.
Yeah. Yeah, don't. It's nothing big. It's just a radio station. Like they used to tell me in the military, imagine everybody in their underwear. You just can't see us, so.
Exactly.
But yeah, if you wanted to call, we're going to take one more caller or two more callers, 813-642-7922. Steve's gracious enough to give us this time, and we have ran over 5 minutes, so he could be like, screw you, I'm off, but he wants to answer your questions, fans, so.
Yeah.
And there was actually two calls coming through. Jason's popped up first, and there's one right there, so we're going to go ahead and add this one. All right, caller live on No Whiners with us, Steve Huff. Who are we speaking with?
Hey, this is Daryl.
How you doing, Daryl? You got a question, comment, or anything for Steve?
Little bit of a comment, a little bit of a question, I suppose. I had to walk out of the room because my missus is listening, and I didn't want to bleed over. But we listened to,
listen to Steve. This voice sounds familiar to me. You sure your name's Daryl?
Yeah, my name's Daryl, yeah.
Oh, okay, let's see. What's your question?
No, I just all the time, big fans, love the equipment, all the new stuff that comes out. Was going to ask what you thought about dowsing rods. I use them during some of our investigations, but I think Deanna kind of put that on the out there already.
Dowsing rods.
Yeah,
dowsing rods are actually pretty cool. I've known about them forever since I was little, but I haven't really tried. I haven't started using them until a few months ago. And one of the times I was on the Queen Mary. My last video, I was using them because Matt, the guy who runs the paranormal investigations on the ship, he's a big believer in them, and he's like, here, give them a try. And he's like, make sure you hold those hands rock solid. And he even does tests, or not tests, he does experiments when there's a group tour, he'll give a set of rods to somebody, make sure, you know, they're steady, and then he'll turn his back and ask a question that he knows the answer to. He'll ask a question of one of the spirits of the ship, but the person holding the rods will not know the answer. And so he'll say, if you were 21 when you died, turn the left rod. If you were 16 when you died, turn the right. And when I was there, it was dead on every question he asked, and it would turn in this girl's hand answering his questions. And that's when I became intrigued by it. So I've used them a few times and had my mind blown a couple times, but I haven't really tried them in, I haven't used them in a couple months. But yeah, I definitely want to use them more. Do you like using them?
Love using them, actually. They're like old friends. My mother has passed on. She talks to me through that. We have our little signal that I interpret as "I love you." We've used it on investigations where we've pointed to the spirit of a little girl's grave headstone. I've also asked that same spirit girl, what using the rods to point to different members of our group. You know, I'd call it by name, and the rods would note.
That's
amazing what you can do with.
It is amazing. It's pretty impressive. And I think that spirits can manipulate almost anything through us. And I think with dowsing rods and something like a Ouija board, I think that they use some of our energy to manipulate these things and use them. And so I'm a believer in the dowsing rods. A lot of people say they're nonsense, but, you know, those who say they're nonsense usually haven't used them. It's usually a skeptic who doesn't believe in it in the first place.
That's true. I mean, it's usually the same skeptics who are... It's the same skeptics who say the same stuff about all the other equipment as well. So
exactly. They're just saying it to say it because they don't believe in any of it. But yeah, no, I love dowsing rods. I plan on using them more as time goes on.
Awesome. Well, I look forward to it. Steve, keep up the great work. We love watching it.
Thank you so much. Thanks for calling.
Take care.
You too.
All right. So we'll do this. We'll hopefully, it was kind of funny when you said you'd recognize that voice.
Yeah, it sounded like someone else to me.
Yeah, you probably thought it was one of the crank callers like I did. I was like, oh, here we go. He got through. But I'm going to take one more caller, so you're going to be the last caller of this show. But the whole funny thing with dowsing rods is my team member, Cher, she's been doing paranormal for like over 40 years. And
That's
when I show up, I got my huge box of like the Ovilus and the Echovox and all the DVR equipment, everything. She shows up, she's got her little tiny bag, and all she has in it is her dowsing rods and her EVP recorder. And I've seen the dowsing rod, the right one, just spin out of control in places.
So it's insane.
But
yeah, some people are comfortable with a certain tool, and that's what they get best results with. So that's pretty cool.
Exactly. And we got our final caller of the night, live on No Whiners Radio. Who are we speaking with?
Hi, this is Tim Jessup.
Tim Jessup. All right, you got a comment or question for Steve?
I don't really have any questions. I just wanted to comment and just let him know that I enjoy his stuff. I follow him pretty closely on Facebook and his website, Hub Paranormal, and just that I enjoy his work and appreciate all the work that he puts into all his videos.
Well, thank you very much. I appreciate that. As long as, you know, people want to watch them and they enjoy them, I'll keep doing them. So thanks a lot for watching them and being on Facebook and all that good stuff. Thanks a lot.
Yeah, and I'm sure all those videos take a lot of time to edit and
but I enjoy it. You know, I enjoy it. I also have to find time for my fiance and son and all that, but I kind of spread it out to where I have enough time. But no, I enjoy it also. It's a pleasure.
Right on. Yeah, I just I got into all this because I just saw some of your videos and then I eventually watched most of them. And I got Echovox and like an EMF reader and stuff. I just haven't had time to use any of it yet because of work, but I'm going to soon.
Yeah, cool. Yeah, let me know how it goes. Send me a message or something or leave a comment.
Sounds
cool.
Good.
So hear how it goes. Yeah. Well, thanks for calling in.
No problem.
All right, Steve, you take it easy.
All right.
All right. So, yeah, that's, what is it, almost... an hour and 15 minutes of Steve Huff. It's been awesome.
Yeah, 15, yeah.
Yeah. It's been awesome having you on the show.
Yeah, it's been great talking to you, too. It's been a lot of fun.
Yeah, definitely. And if you ever run the Kansas City area, I mean, we've got the Villisca House is a couple-hour drive away. We got all kinds of unknown places around here. We have the Sally House and all kinds of weird
stuff. I'd love to go in there, yeah.
Yeah, I'm actually trying to talk to the owner right now to get in there, so I'm hoping, because he's the head of the VFW and I'm a veteran, I'm like going to try to use that approach. But yeah, if you ever run the air, let me know. You want to go ahead and pimp your websites one more time and let everybody know where to find you if they haven't yet?
Yep, just huffparanormal.com. On YouTube, search Huff Paranormal. Facebook, Huff Paranormal. Those are the main three places I post, and that's where you'll see all of my paranormal goodies. So hope to see everybody there.
Yeah, all right. Well, I do appreciate it. I'm going to go ahead and close the show out real quick. If you'll stick by, I'll be right with you in a second to finish off with you. But, yeah, this was just the first show of a monster 3 weeks. You guys need to come back next Thursday night for Andrea Perrin. This woman lived in the farmhouse of The Conjuring. She was the oldest daughter, and she is going to share her stories with us. You've probably seen the movie The Conjuring and everything, but there's more to the story, and she's gonna go deep into it with us. So we're looking forward to that. And then October 30th, we have Wanda Kay coming on, and she's going to share her stories about Bobby Mackey's. So it's going to be an awesome pre-Halloween show. And then right after that show, I am going to go into my meditation, and I'm going to actually be doing my live ITC session on YouTube. It's going to be broadcasted live. We're going to have an ITC session with Echo Vox and the GB1, and then I'm also going to do some sensory deprivation and try to make it where I can't see the Ouija board, and we're going to do a live Ouija board session during the witching hours, and that's from 11 p.m. to 3 a.m. Central Standard Time, so that's from midnight to 4 o'clock in the morning, Eastern Standard Time.